When Charles Darwin finished his famous book, he thought he had explained every clue but one. By anyone's measure, On the Origin of Species was a singular achievement. Like a great Gothic cathedral, the ambitious work integrated many disparate elements into a grand synthesis, explaining phenomena in fields as diverse as comparative anatomy, paleontology, embryology, and biogeography. At the same time, it was impressive for its simplicity. Darwin's Origin explained many classes of biological evidence with just two central organizing ideas. The twin pillars of his theory were the ideas of universal common ancestry and natural selection. The first of these pillars, universal common ancestry, represented Darwin's theory of the history of life. It asserted that all forms of life have ultimately descended from a single common ancestor somewhere in the distant past. In a famous passage at the end of Origin, Darwin argued that all the organic beings which have ever lived on this earth have descended from some one primordial form. Darwin thought that this primordial form gradually developed into new forms of life, which in turn gradually developed into other forms of life, eventually producing, after many millions of generations, all the complex life we see in the present. Biology textbooks today usually depict this idea just as Darwin did, with a great branching tree. The trunk of Darwin's tree of life represents the first primordial organism. The limbs and branches of the tree represent the many new forms of life that developed from it. See Figure 1.1 on the enhanced portion of this audiobook. The vertical axis on which the tree is plotted represents the arrow of time. The horizontal axis represents changes in biological form, or what biologists called morphological distance. Biologists often call Darwin's theory of the history of life universal common descent to indicate that every organism on Earth arose from a single common ancestor by a process of descent with modification. Darwin argued that this idea best explained a variety of biological evidences, the succession of fossil forms, the geographical distribution of various species, such as Galapagos finches, and the anatomical and embryological similarities among otherwise highly distinct organisms. The second pillar of Darwin's theory affirmed the creative power of a process he called natural selection, a process that acted on random variations in the traits or features of organisms and their offspring. Whereas the theory of universal common descent postulated a pattern, the branching tree, to represent the history of life, Darwin's idea of natural selection referred to a process that he said could generate the change implied by his branching tree of life. Darwin formulated the idea of natural selection by analogy to a well-known process, that of artificial selection, or selective breeding. Anyone in the 19th century familiar with the breeding of domestic animals, dogs, horses, sheep, or pigeons, for example, knew that human breeders could alter the features of domestic stock by allowing only animals with certain traits to breed. A sheep herder from the north of Scotland might breed for a woollier sheep to enhance its chances of survival in a cold northern climate, or to harvest more wool. To do so, he would choose only the wooliest males and wooliest ewes to breed. If generation after generation he continued to select and breed only the wooliest sheep among the resulting offspring, he would eventually produce a woolier breed of sheep. In such cases, the key is man's power of accumulative selection, wrote Darwin. Nature gives successive variations. Man adds them up in certain directions useful to him. Darwin noted that pigeons have been coaxed into a dizzying variety of breeds. The carrier, with its elongated eyelids and a wide gape of mouth. The short-faced tumbler, with its beak in outline almost like that of a finch. The common tumbler, with its penchant for flying in close formation and tumbling in the air head over heels. And perhaps the strangest of all, the pouter, with its elongated legs, wings, and body overshadowed by its enormously developed crop, which it glories in inflating for its astonished patrons. Of course, pigeon breeders achieved these startling metamorphoses by carefully sifting and selecting. But, as Darwin pointed out, nature also has a means of sifting. Defective creatures are less likely to survive and reproduce, while those offspring with beneficial variations are more likely to survive, reproduce, and pass on their advantages to future generations. In The Origin, Darwin argued that this process, natural selection acting on random variations, could alter the features of organisms just as intelligent selection by human breeders can. Nature itself could play the role of the breeder